Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper. I have a question. Who is your fire team? Who have you chosen as your fire team? Now for you non-military out there, I'm going to explain how this works. When you're in a unit, especially a combat unit, and make no mistake, every one of us lives in a certain style of combat every single day of our life. You've got combat from work, you got combat from people that don't agree with you, you may even have some family stuff going on. It's always some little bitty form of combat that's going on in your life. It could even be with yourself, because you know you're being lazy when you should be doing something, and you have to combat that. So it's almost like everything that you do, you need to look at it as a term inside of a combat unit. That doesn't mean you need to be aggressive or be butthole-ish about stuff. It just means you need to have the mindset of what's going on around you. Now, if you're non-military type people in a combat unit, this is the way they're set up until you get into some really, really sophisticated SEAL teams and stuff like that. But in most combat units, you're in a division, which is kind of like the 101st Airborne, and then you're in a battalion, which could be, you know, a sub unit like we had the 501st, 502nd, 503rd, which I was a member of, inside of the 101st, and you had the Reconnaissance 187th over there. And those were kind of like, you knew you were part of them, but it didn't really mean anything. And then you had your company. Now your company was real world every day, you had to deal with that. And everything that happened in that company really affected your life. So we're gonna start at a company level, but that's not really close enough, because we're not looking towards something that we can see in our life where it's very generic, you know, like let's say that, say trappers. Trappers is like a division. But it's not a fire team. So you break that down from the company, which is going to usually be about 3 to 4, most of the time 4, different platoons. Inside of these platoons, you're going to have somewhere between 30 and 40 people. And inside of that platoon, because it just keeps going down and down, and you'll see where I'm getting with this in a minute. When you go down from that, you have a squad. Now, squad's usually going to be 6 to 10, depending on what the mission is, if you're heavy weapons or whatever your particular mission is with that. So then, that's a squad. That's kind of like, you know, almost the family. Because it really is, because you look at yourself in the military, squad actually trumps platoon. You'll back up and you'll argue with and you'll you know, kind of mess around with and screw with and have some competitive tribalism with a platoon or different squads with your squads. But who's your fire team? When you break down a squad, it's normally going to be in 2 teams. And depending on what your mission is, that could be considered a fire team. But I want you to think about the fire team, because it's very different than anything else. So you can have America, you can have your state, your region, conservative, liberal, vegan, meat eaters. You can break that down to your town. You can break that down to hobbies. You can keep breaking that down. But you keep breaking that down, eventually every one of us has a fire team that's around us. Now, I can tell you that I've got about 8 or 9 that's in my fire team. 2 of them, y'all hear on Trapping Radio. Well, 1 of them all the time and 1 of them periodically. The other person in my fire team is Jeff Dunlap. And then I've got some others that I haven't, not as public with, that I'm not going to mention. But that's my fire team. They're the ones that has my back. Now, when you're looking at a fire team in your life, guys, I want you to think about something. If you're wanting to go out and do anything in life, in trapping, in business, it doesn't make any difference, that actually matters, who do you need to have and follow and be rubbing shoulders with on a daily basis in your fire team? if they don't have blood trails of their own, that's not the best fire team to be hooked up with. They need to have blood trails that you can follow, that you can see they're doing something. So let's say, for instance, me and Jeff can talk about lures and lure sale and what's going on with the industry, and we get very open with each other because there's no competitiveness there, which there's not. I can talk to Chip or Tim or the other guys that's in my fire team, and you know what? There's no competitiveness there at all. We don't care who's got more money, who makes more sales, who's got the biggest deer, catches the most fur. It doesn't matter. Everybody in the fire team that's around me, and neither one of us is a leader, but everyone that's in that fire team, they know we've got each other's back. And we always do something that's very unusual in today's world. We try to help the other people be better. Now see, everybody that's in my fire team has blood trails. Jeff Dunlap has got serious blood trails in the lure industry. He's got serious blood trails when it comes to going out of state. He's got serious blood trails in trapping in general. That's somebody that I know that I can follow because it's not running of his mouth. He's real. And I know that he's got my back. Now the same can be said for Chip and Tim and the other people in my fire team. Now why would I say something like this? Because who's in your fire team is going to make a big difference of who you are. And this is going to get uncomfortable for people if they take this advice. And I'm not saying you should, but I'm saying you really should. There's a lot of people that have fire teams where there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of trying to outdo the other almost in a competitive nature instead of trying to help each other. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of trying to mentally bring somebody down to make them feel better. There could be a lot of negativity. There could be a lot of things, but is it healthy? Is it really healthy? So when I was in Desert Storm, being an M60 gunner, sometimes an AG, depending on what was going on, me and the depending on who was doing what at the moment, whoever was behind the hog, which is an M60, that had to be a team that worked together. Because shooting an M60, if you've never shot one, especially in a combat situation or combat training, it's not the way Rambo shoots an M60. It's heavy. If it's not, you don't get caught in an ambush or something like that, you set it up on a tripod. The gun itself is heavy. And you've got a couple of 100 rounds of .308. And then you've got this guy next to you that has got the stand that it sits on and mounts. That weighs as much as the gun does. And just because of his history or whatever, he's normally got 300 rounds. Now, one way that I could tell if an M60 team was really a fire team when they went out, me and him would always split the ammo. If there was 500, we did 250. Now see, when you're part of a team like that, there's always going to be a leader in a certain role. That doesn't mean that one is got to be a peckerhead about it. That just means that he is in a leadership role. The M60 gunner is the leader. And the fire teams that weren't worth a crap, they always made sure that they carried way less than the AG. You know, don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon. Because they didn't look at their fire team the way that me and Sergeant Martinez did. We were a team. So when we would get somewhere and we had to set up, he would take the base for the M60, which has got some unique features a lot of people don't know about. Will you set outer limits of where you can shoot? As soon as he would open that thing up and I would slam that on the ground, he would automatically go into getting the belts out where they can be readily available if needed. I would immediately go into range cards. Range cards is something you use with an M60, so you know not to fire so far left or so far right that you kill some of your own guys. And then after I would do that, he would look at the card and we would have an open discussion about it, about if we're doing the right thing. What's the right elevation? Is there anything out in front of us that I don't see? And we would be very open and honest with each other to make sure that when we set up the M60, we could rock and roll at a second's notice and do our job the best that we could do. But I saw a lot of other M60 teams that would bitch and moan and complain, and the AG gunner thought that he was less than the gunner, so he's always trying to get the gunner in trouble by doing this, that, and the other. Does that sound familiar with a lot of people's friends today? Does it really? I know that it is. See, the people that are my fire team that I rely on a daily basis sometimes, I can call them up with a problem. They can call me with a problem. We can discuss an idea and we're not having to worry about, are they going to steal it? Are they going to run off and say something to somebody or anything like that? None of that ever enters anybody's mind. But if you set your life up, guys, with a fire team that's always mentally abusing each other, not in the good ball-busting way that guys do, where one's always trying to take advantage of the other. I've had those people in the past. I no longer hang out with them. They're always trying to get something from you. Guys, that's not a fire team. That's an abusive relationship. I've also seen a lot of people that hang out with very negative people. I mean, people that are sharp and smart, and because of whatever reason, they hang around with very negative people. And do you know what that does to their life from that point on? It turns them into a negative person that always sees the negative of everything, and it kills every opportunity that they have to go out and be successful. Their fire team, knowingly or unknowingly, because it's irrelevant, destroys the other members in the fire team. Super destructive. So who do you have for a fire team? Is it someone that's negative or somebody that's actually doing something? Is it someone that always thinks that nothing can ever work, or is there somebody that goes, we will figure this out, let's get busy? See, this is not a simple thing. Because we all have friends that we like for different reasons. A lot of it's just for comfort, security, and we're used to it. If you want to do anything in life, you need to have a fire team with blood trails because they actually went out and killed something. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally and what they do on their everyday life. The worst thing someone can do if you want to be a better trapper is get around negative trappers. The worst thing you could ever do as a business is listen to negative people talk to you about your business. See, a lot of the stuff that y'all don't see, me and Jeff, or me and Tim, or me and Chip, or sometimes a combination of all three, or even sometimes Carl over in Memphis, we can sit around and we can talk about something where, how are you going to market that? What do you think the price is going to be? Do you think that's too much? You know, I don't really think that's going to be functional. I mean, but see, there's no hurt feelings there, and no one's ever going to happen. I'm going to tell a quick story. I'm not going to mention exactly what the piece of equipment is, but there was four of us together. A subject came up. One of us is very good at building stuff, which I'll probably figure out who that is. And I've had this idea for a long time, about how to build a trap in a much better way that's got a much better marketing appeal for mass market outside of the trapping industry, stuff like that. Now, unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to anybody else in the fire team there, another member has also thought of this. And we had a little bit different ideas, but it was kind of the same concept. Now what the other team member did, because I mean, it's not like we have a membership to be a team, you just kind of know that that's your guys, right? They got your back. He was like, I think that'll work. That may actually work better than what I have. I tell you what, when y'all get that together, I'll be glad to go test it and film it and help you market it. See, that's what a fire team does. That's what real friends do. I tell you what a not good fire team will do, and not really good friends will do, is everybody then tries to jockey for position to try to figure out to, if this thing pays off, how are they going to make some money out of it? Which just happens every day in the trapping industry. Because if this other member of the fire team, that I'm not going to mention his name, were to come up with something, even if I had the similar idea and I could help him sell a million of them, and he's going to be retired on a beach in Mexico somewhere, drinking margaritas and looking at senoritas, I would do everything I could to help him, and I'm not going to expect a single dime in return. Because that's what a good fire team does. So anytime that you're bringing up an idea or business and someone else is trying to jump in and figure out how to get a cut every single time, that ain't a very good part of your, that's not a good fire team. See, another thing a good fire team member does when you're talking about business and different things is you come up with ideas that maybe somebody else could do that you don't want to do. You give them the idea, and then maybe y'all work out some type of little something on the side because you brought them something to that. And then there's not a bunch of hurt butt over it later on. So that's something else that a fire team can do together. But when it comes to our everyday trapping, negativity, if you're hearing that, you're going out and you're busting your butt on the trap line and you come back and it's like, I don't know why you're setting them traps. I mean, the fur ain't worth nothing. Why are you wasting your time? You can't sell that. Nobody wants fur anymore. What the hell is wrong with you? You hear that every day for a couple of months? I mean, it just sucks the life out of you. Pick and find a good fire team. When you do, and everybody's there just to be helpful to everybody else, and you don't have jealousy and greed and all this other stuff involved, it is unlimited at the potential that the fire team can have. Because who you choose for your friends, I promise you, is either going to bring you down or it's going to lift you up. See, that's a decision that you can make. If you've got bad friends, get rid of them. They're not friends. They may be acquaintances, but they're not friends. You need to try to build a team where everybody's somewhat equal and everybody's there just to help no matter what it is. If you do that, I promise you, you're going to enjoy life a whole lot better. Now, the second thing on this rant that I was just thinking about the other day, because there's a book coming out, I wish I could remember the name, but there was something in there that it was like, what makes America great? What has made America great? And I'm not talking about Trump or all the crazy politics of the day. I'm not talking about that. What is one of the things that makes America so special? And I've already said, I think a lot of it has to do with individuality, going out west, all that. That's just, you know, the strong survived, the dead didn't, so the genetics moved on. But what else makes it very different? If you go to other countries, let me ask you this. If you've ever been to Saudi Arabia, have you ever met an African Saudi Arabian or a French Saudi Arabian or a gay Saudi Arabian or a Christian Saudi Arabian? No. Saudi Arabia. When you look at Iraq, they're all Muslims for the most part. There are some Christians, or there were. They're not all dead yet. There were some Christians over there. But there was nothing inside of their culture that made them think anything outside of the tribe of what they were, whether they are Sunnis or Shiites or whatever it is. That's what they were. Iraq was somewhere way down the line, whether it made any difference whatsoever. Now see, one of the big things about America, which people today do not seem to understand, especially young people, is you can have African Americans and French Americans and Irish Americans and Scottish Americans and Hispanic Americans and Southern Americans, Northern Americans, Western Americans, gay Americans, straight Americans. You can even be one of them really confused Americans that can be a guy or a girl within 20 minutes. And no one in the real world of America cares. You're pretty much just an American. When I was in the Army, we had Puerto Ricans, we had black people, we had white people, we had Irish people, Italian people, Hispanic people. We had some from Iceland. We had some that were from the Middle East. And there's a whole bunch that I probably just can't think of off the top of my head. And it didn't matter. Because the United States Army and Airborne Infantry, the Airborne Infantry came first. Now, would there be some aggravation because you bring all these different cultures together? Sure there was. But when bullets started going down range, do you think anybody cared what slash American somebody else was? Nope. Now, when I was in, we didn't have gay people. I mean, we did, I'm sure, but it wasn't like an open policy of gay people. I guarantee you, bullets flying down range, no one cares what your sexual preference is. No one's going to care if you're a vegan or a meat eater. Because at that time, you're just going to be an MRE eater. It's not going to matter if you're atheist or Christian. It's not going to matter if you're Presbyterian or Catholic. It's not going to matter if you're from the North or from the South, from the West or from corn country in the middle. Doesn't make any difference. When you look at the beginning history of America, and you had Quakers and Puritans, all the different states had their own religion. I mean, they were their own thing. They decided to be a union. Nowhere in history has that ever happened. Because if something happened, a Quaker would go help fight with an Amish person. Or a Puritan. It didn't really matter. Some of the bravest soldiers in the Revolutionary War were not white, they were black. Some of the bravest soldiers in the Civil War were black, not white. Now, was there some racism and stuff involved with that? Yeah, there was. But you know what? When it all boiled down to, it didn't matter what you were, where you're from, what you thought, you were American. And you were willing to go to the wall for that. Why were we so effective in World War I and World War II? because we were Americans. During the 60s, a very interesting thing started happening in our history. The intellectuals and professors decided that they needed to pump every single kid with how evil America was. And then they started identity politics. You're completely different if you're black. You're completely different if you're Hispanic, Muslim, Christian, atheist, hippie, non-hippie. And everybody got put in these little bitty categories. Now see, the tribe wasn't any more of American at that point. It was completely tribal. And when this tribal became more and more fervent, you started having very clearly at this time, which is the first time in history, by the way, where black people were very open about why would they fight for such a racist country, because there was slavery a couple hundred years back. Regardless of what the, if the war was righteous or not, that's not saying the black people did it, because there was a lot of other groups that were kind of doing the same thing, because they started breaking down into groups. And that started degrading the absolute amazing power of America. I mean, everybody's got groups now. I don't even consider the people that's in my government Americans. They don't represent anybody except a checkbook. They don't represent the people that elect them. They don't have any of the same values of America. They just happen to be in Washington, D.C. Think how destructive that is to America. Now we have left and right, and then there's all these subcategories of right and all these subcategories of left. Then everybody's broke down into race and what they want to eat and what they want to screw, and everything is just broke down further and further and further and further and further. And everybody wants to fight for their little bitty tribe. See, I don't know how to fix that. I really don't. But I can say with a little bit of certainty that if America stays segmented, America is not going to be the America that we grew up with. I mean, it's already not the America we grew up with. I really believe that I'm one of the last generations of free children that's ever lived in America. Your kids today, they don't have any idea what freedom is. They don't have any idea what it means to be proud of America instead of just being proud and fighting for their little group, whatever it is. I don't know if right now you could pull left and right together for something like World War II. I really don't. But one of the main things that made America great, I'm talking great, was individual liberty, the pursuit of happiness, where everybody was starting from an equal footing, which we definitely have today, which we did not have 250 years ago, but we've evolved past that, which we do today. And people thought that it was up to them to get something done. Now, there's still some people like that out there. There's some guys in Boston. The city keeps saying that they need billions of dollars to fix the potholes. Apparently, these two, they call themselves rednecks. These rednecks went down, bought some asphalt, started fixing holes in their own streets. Didn't ask the city, didn't ask permission, didn't ask anything. City don't know what to do. They started a GoFundMe page. The GoFundMe page is for people in that city to help them buy more asphalt so they can put more potholes, because every politician is more worried about their little groups than they are the actual roads in their city. And these guys are getting it done. See, that's what America used to be. It's not exactly what it is today, as a whole. Some of the stuff that's come out from the left about how just being just full of venom towards Barbara Bush because one of her sons was, you know, a war murderer, and the other son was this, that, and the other, and she raised them, so she's an evil person. And I mean, just the viciousness. I really don't know if that can be fixed. Not unless we end up back in a third world situation. But what made America great is no matter if you were Irish or Italian or black or white or Christian, Presbyterian or gay or straight, it didn't make any difference. When it came to America, there was a national identity of pride. And civilizations are based off of that. The civilizations like Rome that lost it, they just totally lost. I'm telling you, it saddens me to see how far people are apart from each other, and they can't get past their little bitty groups as far as what America is. America is probably one of the greatest countries in the world to help bring other people out of poverty, but the left will never see it. All the stuff that we do around the world, I don't think we should be doing. But you know what? That's those people in Washington. That ain't America out here. Let somebody have a car wreck in real America. No one's going to care if they're black, white, gay, straight, Muslim, Christian, or Catholic. Nobody. You're going to help. That's what we need more of. I don't know, just something I've been thinking about, guys. I thought I'd share it with y'all. Find you a good fire team. Makes all the difference in the world. I'm telling you, that makes all the difference in the world. And if you want to have a strong America, we're going to have to figure out how to be Americans, then everything else is secondary. Because right now, everything else is in the forefront, and America is just, depending on what side you're on, either perfect in every way, which is a lie, or the most racist, destructive country in every way, which is a lie. But if we can actually have a national identity of what America used to be, there's no limits. And that's the America that I want to be part of. But you know, that starts with me. And more importantly, that starts with you.